Shafat. Okay, what's that mean? Kisham tiyeh hamulchama, that's where the mulchama will be. Now here is, he differs then Rashi and the Mitzudos. This valley was named by Melech Yehoshaphat. Okay? V'zeh ha'emek hoya l'melech Yehoshaphat during the times of Achav. Ulai bona sham oyosa sham maseh. The reason why this location is called after Yehoshaphat is because he did something significant there. The Radak is not telling us what he did there.
He
doesn't know. He says maybe. Maybe. Al shemoi, and that's why this location is called Emek Yehoshaphat. Emek Le'ir Yerushalayim. And the Emek is near the city of Yerushalayim. Oy Nikre, or like with the Mitzudas stuff, it says in Rashi, Emek Yehoshaphat al shem ha-mishpat. It refers to judgment.
Kamosha Amar v'nishpat.
The judgment valley. The judgment valley, because that's where they're going to be judged. V'nishpati sham imam, v'chintei v'yonesan l'meishar pilug dino. The Targum also does not contribute this having anything to do with Melech Yehoshaphat. It refers to a place where they're going to be punished. V'nishpatati. Ekones b'mishpat imam, I'm going to judge them. V'chichem, I'm going to rebuke them. Al asher heireu l'Yisrael. Bigalusam b'nehem, that they caused the Jewish people to go into galus. Asher pizhu v'agoyim titus u'machaneu. So here the Radak says, who are we referring to? He says we're referring to the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was conquered by Titus. Why is he referring to the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon did not happen yet. What? Wait, this thing go off?
Yep.
Already went off? What happened to this already? Already it broke? Let me turn it back on 1 second.
Emek Yehoshaphat is where you have...
It's already off? Is the battery already dead?
Avshalom's caver, that whole thing.
Yeah, the point where I'm looking at is Kidron.
Yeah,
testing.
The Kidron goes right through it. Kidron
down. Is the battery already dead on that thing, on the... No, it's good. It's good. Just put it back in. It's good. That's red. It's supposed to be red. Just put it back in. Okay, back on. So Emek Yehoshaphat. Went dead again. I don't know. Ready when it broke this thing. All right, you'll play around with it. What? No, it should be red. All right, let's see what happens. Emek Yehoshaphat. So he writes over here. Put in new batteries. Okay. Okay, this refers to Titois. Titois Harasha. Here he says this refers to the Bayis Sheni, when Titois caused Klal Yisrael to go into Golus. Let's take a look at the Malbim. Malbim Pasik Aleph. Kinei Be'er Mosai Yuyu Hadvarim Hamuskarim Shezeye Be'ez Sheyeh Bedaiti. When will this event take place? The event of everything we learned in the previous perek. It's going to happen at the time of Kibbutz Goliath. Lohashiv Eshavus Yehuda. Ritzoin Eloimar. Be'acharis Hayomim Shehagam. Shagam Aseres Hashvatim Yigualu Oz Shevet Yehudu Ho'ikor Be'enav. So far everyone is telling us that it's Lav Dafka Yehuda. There's going to be Kibbutz Goliots for everyone. V'kibatzti, I'm going to ingather Eskol Ha... What? Yehuda's the Iker. Yehuda's the Iker.
Why?
Because Malchus David. Malchus David comes from Yehuda. Lo Yosu Shevet mi Yehuda. So Yehuda is the Iker. What?
Why
Yehud is the Yikar. That's they're the ones also. The capital, Yushalayim, that's the Mokim at the Beis Hamikdash. Yehuda is the one who is in charge of Yushalayim. Okay, next, Vikibatzti es kol hagoyim she'oz yisabev Hashem she'iskabsu kol hagoyim b'mulchem eskoy gumog. So he also says explicitly, we didn't go over here, b'mulchem eskoy gumog. She'nibei olecho yicheskel v'hispoer al yide v'hispoer sham she'oz yisoyru b'nei edoim lilochem al b'nei yishmon. Now here he's coming to say something very similar to what the Abar Benel says. How's it with the batteries? What?
Sadia going?
You want to give it to me? I'll give it to me. Mr. Cole, I know how to do it. I know it's hard. I know how to do it. Okay, this is only 10. I'm getting. I ordered the one that you don't have to put any batteries in for.
Did I put it in right?
No, it's good. Let's go. Okay, try now. Okay. So we're going to discuss. I'm trying to recall from memory what Abar Benel says, but he learns here that we're referring over here to two nations. We're referring over here to two nations. The it's too loud. I'll make a word. No, okay. Hold on, just it. We're referring over here to two nations. We're referring over here to the Edom and Yishmael. Okay. Now the Abar Benel says beferish that Edom. Is it okay now?
It's fine. The volume is
all right? The Abar Benel says, we always say this, but it's not necessarily so simple, is that the Arabs today are those who have embraced the ideology of Yishmael. Is that really true? Why is that really true? Why do we take it as a given?
It's not,
what? Whatever it is, that is the assumption. Most of the commentators, they work with that, the modern-day Darshanim, but you think about it, why should that necessarily be true? The modern-day, the Arabs in today's world are not necessarily descendants of biological descendants of Yishmael. So they, but they, like they say, they live, they are...
So in that case, you have to extend it to the two religions.
Okay, whatever it is, but the terms that they use is that even though the Arabs of the world today are not necessarily biological descendants of Yishmael, but they have adopted the ideology of what Yishmael represents. And that requires a lot of homework to understand in Tanakh. What is the essence of Yishmael? V'hu yihye per adam, yodoy ba'kol v'yad kol doy. We have to understand what exactly is the ideology of Yishmael relative to Yitzchak, and then to say that in the modern world, the Arab nations, which includes the Turks, and includes the Syrians, and includes Saudi Arabia, and Jordan, Indonesia. Well, there's a lot of Buddhism there as well, but it's a very big chiddush, and this is the way many of the commentators work, and it's very common. You hear this all the time. I'm not saying any chiddushim, is that all of the people today who are believers in Muhammad, in the whether they're Shiites or Sunnis. Okay, whatever variety of Arab they are, they're all under the umbrella of Yishmael. Esav, who is Esav today? Are the people are the American citizens today? Are they biological descendants of Esav or Russia? Not necessarily. Probably very unlikely. But yet, Edom today is assumed to be they have adopted the ideology of Esav. Okay, Europe. And what about America? We're an extension. Okay, the British. We're an extension. We're just a break off. We're just the Western civilization is Edom. So let me just tell you the Babel just elaborates on what the Babel says in a little more detail. And he just goes through the history. The history is that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, who immediately gained control over Eretz Yisrael? Immediately with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Yishmaelim. The Yishmaelim pretty much gained control over Eretz Yisrael for approximately 500 years. And then, no, not five, then, no, I'm making a mistake. Almost 1,000 years. Almost more. I'm sorry. The Eretz Yisrael was pretty much emptied. There was no one living in Eretz Yisrael for a very long period of time. The dynasty of the Arabs who took over before the First Crusade, 1096, was approximately 500 years. For the first 500 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Eretz Yisrael was not under anyone's authority. It was just desert land. It was some occupation, but it was not a significant settlement in this world. When it became a significant place was approximately 500 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And that was done by the Arabs, by the descendants of those who identify with Yishmael, and they took control possession for approximately 500 years, which is then took us to the time of Rashi, the time of the Rishonim, when was the beginning of the First Crusade. The First Crusade was successful, where Edom, Esav, took possession of Eretz Yisrael, and it remained in their hands for how long? 85 years. From the time that Edom, that the Christians conquered Yerushalayim, it was in their possession for 85 years until later another crusade when the Muslims took it back. And they took it back since that period of time, it was always pretty much under the control of the Muslims, ad hayoyim hazeh.
Different ones at different times.
Different varieties of Yishmaelim, but all under the same umbrella of Yishmaelim. Esav, the Abarbanel says, Esav never lived this down. They never were able to deal with the defeat subconsciously that they took possession for 85 years, and then they lost it. And this bothers them deep, deep down inside of them, ad hayoyim hazeh. Now, you'll argue that today we don't find Edom, we don't find the European nations and America having any desire whatsoever to possess and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. We don't see that. We know that the Arabs, they want to drive us out of the land. They want to get up, but we don't find, we don't, and they want to take possession, but we do not find that Edom wants to take possession. Edom may want to exert their influence over Eretz Yisrael and decide, make a peace plan, or do this, or do that, or decide how the Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael, but we do not find that Edom actually wants to possess it, to take possession, and to own it, similar to how we see that Yishmael today wants to possess Eretz Yisrael.
The whole philosophy of Edom was always to let the local indigenous community keep their...
But they themselves, we don't find. So the Abarbanel says something very, very fascinating, which is not at all obvious to us. And he says that the Milchemes Goyim Ugmagim is going to be when, that don't be fooled today and think that America and the European nations don't want to own, want to drive the Jews out of Yerushalayim, and they'll settle there, just like a colony, just like the Yishmaelim want to drive us out of Yerushalayim. That's a mistake. In the subconscious mind of Edom wants to possess Eretz Yisrael equal to the way we know as a fact that the Yishmaelim want to possess Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that a shocking statement to say?
I think you're really talking about the Pope. I don't think you're talking about America. I think you're talking about the Pope.
Okay, whoever Edom is, whoever. So the Abarbanel says the Milchemes Goyim Ugmagim is something we've never really seen. Because the Milchemes Goyim Ugmagim is where, after all these years, Esav says, enough is enough. I want it for myself. I don't just want to manipulate the politics in Eretz Yisrael. I want to possess it. But the Abarbanel says this.
I know. Think about when the Abarbanel lived.
1492, expulsion of Spain. Okay, it says this is an idea, and obviously we have to tone the idea down because the Malvim says something very, very simple. He tones it down. So let me just say the extreme version of this idea, and then we'll read the Malvim side, which is toned down with the Abarbanel says when times of Mashiach come is when, after all this time, they're going to want to actually possess it. The war of Milchemes Goygumog is a war of the Yishmaelim versus Edom in regard to owning Eretz Yisrael.
I don't see so much as a desire to possess as Eretz Yisrael, or really more of a desire to dispossess us of it.
That's the difficulty, right? Because we don't see that. We don't exactly the point. That's why I'm trying to tell you something a little extreme. In order to, we'll come back to the Malbim is not so extreme. Malbim is much more contemporary. So he doesn't go to such an extreme as the Abarbanel. Abarbanel was in 1492. So he was talking about what's going to be when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, Edom will be equal to Yishmael in their desire to possess the land. It's very interesting. Because that we don't, exactly what you just said, that we don't see that today. All we see today is Edom desperately wants the honor of being the one, of having major influence over what happens in Eretz Yisrael. They want the credit to make a peace process, a peace plan, where the Jews and the Yishmaelim will live together, or Adarabba, they'll support the Yishmaelim and drive the Jews out. But we don't find that they themselves want to own the land. But the Abarbanel says, when he wrote his commentary in 1492, he says, I'm telling you, when Mashiach will come, right before Mashiach, just like we know the Yishmaelim, they possess it, the Esav will want to possess. And that's the war, Milchemes Goyeg u'Magoyeg. They're going to come to Yerushalayim to fight who gets to keep it. But what about the Jews? There are Jews living in the land. There are 7 million Jews living today in Eretz Yisrael. Who cares about them? They're irrelevant. It's either going to be Esav is going to hold title, or Yishmael is going to hold title. That's Milchemes Goyeg u'Magoyeg. Now that parish fits perfectly into this pasuk. Because this pasuk over here, it says the last words, V'yes Artzi Chileku. They divided. They divided mean Esav took the land for himself, and Yishmael attempted to take the land for himself. And we have precedent for this because for 85 years it was true that Edom did indeed possess, did indeed have title to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that amazing?
That built the churches?
What? Yes. Yes, a lot of the things, a lot of the big magnificent things that we see in Eretz Yisrael today, even by the Kosel HaMaravi, was built during the time, was 85 years of Christian occupation. That is correct. There are still castles, there's still, by the Kosel HaMaravi, some of the things there is in the time of the First Crusade, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they took possession and they built all of these things. And then 85 years later, they were thrown out of the land by Yishmael. So Enochanami, that 85 years obviously was a fulfillment of the machshava of Esav, of Yitzchak. Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos to who? To Esav. Did he succeed? No. He didn't succeed. Rivka got in the way. Rivka got in the way. But obviously, the machshav of a tzaddik also has some effect. Obviously.
He gave him a bracha.
No, right, he gave him a bracha. But the bracha was Itali. Rashi says, Itali Yishol Yovan. Mishmani Haaretz Nat Eretz Yisrael. He gave him a consolation prize. The consolation prize was the Italia Shel Yovan, Italy. Rashi says it in the pasuk. Mishmane haaretz ye moishavecha zu Italia shel Yavon. But that was not his original plan.
Chazal.
But that wasn't Yitzchak's original plan. His original plan is hinei lo yadati yoy moisi, make for me matanim, I'm going to give you the bracha, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. So the machshava of Yitzchak came to fruition for sure in those 85 years.
So where does Yishmael come to any of this?
Yishmael was the son of Avram. He also was a Yoresh.
But not of Eretz Yisrael.
Of Eretz Yisrael. It could very well be that that was also a machshava of Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu never expected to have a Yitzchak. He said to Hashem, "Matitainli anoichi hoylech ariri." With a Meshek base, he would have Meshek Eliezer.
I always thought all the other lands, you know, around Eretz Israel, that's for the Ishmaelim.
What did Avram say? Lu, when Hashem said to Avram Avinu, you're going to have a Yitzchak, what did Avram say? Lu Yishmael Yichye Lifonecha. Halavai Yishmael should remain alive. Hashem gave Avram Avinu Eretz from the very beginning. Lech lecha, me artscha, me maladcha, me sericha, la'aretz ha'shareka. Hashem shows the marriage show, it's yours, Avram Avinu. So every moment of the day, Avram was thinking, who's going to be my Yoresh? Who's my Yoresh? So it's very interesting. Eliezer, I don't know, I don't think this is true, but Eliezer also, to some degree, there was a Hav Amina. He would be the Yoresh. Uma'atitinli, anochi holy chariri, uven mesek Eliezer, uven meshech Eliezer, who the... What did Avram say? Avram said, "My Yoresh is Eliezer, Eved Avram." It was obviously Havamina that Eliezer would be Yoresh Eretz Yisrael. Who in history are the descendants or are the nation that is the equivalent to Eliezer? That did, at least in a Havamina form, did take possession. I do not know.
Could be Canaan?
No, Canaan already existed before. But one thing is for sure, and this is not everyone says this, but later when Avram, Sarah said, let me take my maidservant, Hagar, Ulai Ibone Mimena, through her I will be built up, and they had a child, Yishmael. And then Hashem says to Avram, do not worry, you're going to have your own child through Sarah. And Avram didn't believe Hashem. And he says, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lifonecha. It was almost a tefillah. It was a tefillah. And then when he had Yitzchak, he still did not want to disinherit Yishmael. Vayera hadavar me'oid b'yenei Avraham al oidois b'noi. When Hashem said to Avram, "Kol asher toima sara shma b'koyla, ki b'yitzach yikaru l'cha zara," Hashem said to Avram, "Sara said to Avram, goresh es ben ha'oma hazos, ki lo yirash im bini im yitzchak." So she was responding to Avram, whereas Avram's plan was that he should be a yoresh. Ad kidei kach, he was mispalo that he should be a Yoresh. Lu yishmo yichye lefonecha. Do we not know that tefillah came true? It certainly came true. Ad hayom hazeh, it's true. Who occupies half of Yerushalayim today? But what did Sarah say to Avram? Sarah said, "Ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak." He will not inherit
the land.
The land. So what was? Why was she saying that to Avram? Because he disagreed.
Because he had a soft spot for Yishmael. We know that.
And therefore, he wanted Yishmael to inherit the land,
something.
Have something in the land.
Something. But who says Eretz Canaan in particular?
That was the gift that Hashem gave up. What else? If not that, then what?
So he didn't give him that in the end.
But he wanted to, you're right. He wanted to. And he desperately wanted to.
So instead, he gave him nationhood.
He gave him something else. He said, Matanos. He gave them Matanos. But there is a principle that even the machshava of a tzaddik has, dealing, of course, with the avos, has some ramifications in this world. And therefore, it's pashut. Look at what happened in world history. We have now the advantage of hindsight. Look at world history. Avram clearly had intent in the beginning that Yishmael would be Yoresh Eretz Yisrael. Avram also had intent to some degree that Eliezer would be Yoreish Eretz Yisrael. Right. He acknowledged. Now, in world history, now that's not that Hashem said at the end, no way. No way. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. But until we get to that point, we go through a process in Golos that indeed Yishmael, history repeats itself. Yishmael gets it, and then they reject it. Or Eliezer gets it, then they reject it. So I don't know, maybe the first 500 years, who occupied Eretz Yisrael during...
Yerushalayim wasn't important, right? He made it very important.
Even after, he didn't make it important. Even he didn't make it important. Mecca was important, not Yerushalayim. It was never important. It's a whole, it's a joke. The whole thing is lies. The hallmark of an Arab is a lie. They're pure, pure lies.
The Dome on the Rock supposedly was in his vision and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's
below.
Not,
I know it's,
but
I'm just saying.
All lies.
That was in the
by the way, why is the hallmark, why is the lifeblood of a Yishmaeli a lie? Why is the whole essence lies? So it's a very scary part. Where does Yishmael come from? Hagar. Where did Hagar come from? How did... Mitzrayim. Who was Hagar? She was a slave of who? He was Paro's property. What happened? Avraham came down to Egypt, and he says to Sarah, "I want you to lie. I want you to lie. And when we come to Egypt, I want you to tell everyone you're not my wife. You are my brother, sister. You are my sister, and I'm your brother. Because if you tell them the truth, they're going to kill me. So therefore, I want you to lie." Was he allowed to do this? Listen, Ramban talks about this. I'm not going there now. But that is the reality. Okay, there are things which should be, what can't be, and then there's the reality. People like to deny reality because they live in a world of ideals, a world of what should be, what could have been, what could have been. Let's forget about what could have been, what should have been. Let's deal with the reality. Did Sarah lie? Yes. She told Paro and everyone that I am the sister of Avraham. Avraham said, she is my sister. What happened as a result of this lie? She was abducted by Paro. Paro almost lived with her. When Paro was made aware that she's not the sister, she is the wife, and he released her, he gave her a present. What was the present?
Goshen.
A Hagar. Goshen, property, Goshen. And he also, it says in Feirush and the Medrash, he gave Sarah for the tsar that I've caused you, the pain that I've caused you by abducting you and taking you away from your husband, and your husband as well, going through this whole process, let me appease you by giving you a gift. Let me give you this woman, her name is Hagar, she's an incredible cook. She knows how to do the laundry like no one else. She knows how to cook and bake like no one else. She'll keep your home in order as a gift to make up for the tsar that I've caused you. Paro wasn't really giving her a gift. Paro was giving her a curse. And it was Mida Keneged Mida. You lied to me, and you brought upon me all of this embarrassment and all of this pain and shame. You know what? I'm going to give you, I know that this woman in my home, it seems on the outside, she's a great servant. She knows how to cook and bake and clean and do everything. But I know her. She's the biggest liar in the world. She's the biggest liar. There's no greater liar in this world than this woman, Hagar. And therefore, as a punishment to you, Mida Kineged Mida, you lied to me, you're going to suffer from lies the rest of your life.
This is what it's quoted in
Tazawa? No, this is a drush. This part is a drush.
Write it down.
This part of his Chazal Hagar, but that's the mistake. So Mida Kineged Mida.
Well, where do we see that she lied in Avram's house?
She lied to Paro. It says Mefarish in the Pasuk.
Hagar lied to Paro?
No.
Hagar lied to Avram.
Because her descendants are the biggest liars the world has ever known. The hallmark of an Arab is a total lie. Everything is a lie. Everything their whole everything they do is a lie. Is a lie.
But Hagar was called the Torah. When Abraham went back to
her. Yeah. Whatever that means, I don't know what that means. He went back to. He went back. She was not a simple woman. She was not a simple woman, but she is the Shoresh of Yishmael. And Yishmael, this is not, everyone knows. This is, even go online. What? Yes. Keturah.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever that means, it means. That's a later point in his life. Whatever that means, it means. First of all, not everyone agrees that it was, not everyone agrees that Hagar is Keturah. Some say that different people. And even if it was, so maybe later in her life, she did Shuvah. Chazal said that Osid Yishmael La'asois Teshuvah. There's hope for everyone.
He did Shuvah.
He let Yitzchak go in front of him by the funeral of his father. Maisa avoy simin labanim. The day will come when Yishmael will do teshuvah. But in the meantime, we suffer from Yishmael. And the shoresh of what we saw from Yishmael is outrageous lies. Who is the mother of Yishmael? Hagar. That means it all comes from her. Why did we suffer with her? Well, it's Pashat. Mida keneged mida. Avram Avinu lied, Sarah lied, Parah was not very happy with a lie. You lied to me, you will suffer from lies the rest of your existence until Mashiach comes. How am I going to make you suffer? I'll give you this woman. And she seems to be a very nice woman, but she's a snake. She's a liar.
Amorosa.
What?
Amorosa.
What's this woman, the Schwarz woman over here, find that. So she is a liar. It's Poshet. This is how it all comes out. Now let's just take a step back. Avram wanted desperately that Yishmael should live. Lu Yishmael Yichya Lifonecha. Yitzchak wanted Esav to be the Yoresh of Eretz Yisrael. And guess what? Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh. If this is what the tzaddik wants, that's what's going to be. I recently came across an incredible chiddush. It says, what should a person daven for? The only thing that you should daven, this is not lahalach. I'm telling you now, it's not lahalach. Don't get carried away, what I'm telling you. But it's an incredible insight. I never heard such a thing before. It's so that a person only should daven for three things. Bini chaye mizoyne. Bini means children. Chaye means bini children. Chaye means life and parnosa. What about everything else? There are a million things to daven for. Those things, you don't need to daven. Just agmas nefesh. Just in the mind itself, that is called enough tefillah, or Hashem, when you realize in your life you have a problem. I got a problem. What am I going to do? And in your mind you say to yourself, no, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, he'll help me get through this. I have faith in Hashem. That itself is the tefillah. You don't need to articulate words. You don't need to express yourself in dibur. The machshava alone is the tefillah. Where do you know that from? Ritzon yireyav yaseh. The will. The will is the thought. What you need in life, just think about, concentrate and recognize that it's totally in the Yad Hashem, and that's it. You're done. Hashem will help you. So what then is tefillah? We daven every day, Shemona Esrei, we daven. That's because there's a certain certain disposition we put in this world, mazel. We're put into this world as a mazel of bini chaye mezoine. In order to break out of your mazel, which is limited, you need tefillah. Ritzoin is not sufficient. In order to break out of what is of destiny, natural destiny, mazel, b'ni chayi mezonei, you gotta go and daven and articulate the words with kavan and say the Shemona Esrei. The ikur tefillah is to break out of inyonim that are rooted in mazel. We break out through tefillah. Everything else, guess what? You don't even need to daven. Just give a krechs. You see, realize, what am I going to do? Oh no, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? That's it, you're done. Hashem saw that. Hashem knows that. Hashem saw you have emunah. Ritzoin yireyav yaseh. Now take that idea and go to Avram Avinu, okay? The Rosh HaMaminim. Avram Avinu. I want Yishmael to be my Yoresh. I want it. And he even went so far to actually say it. Lu Yishmal Yichya Lefanecha. Eliezer also. I want Eliezer. Matitinli. This is the guy. This is my Yerush. He thinks about this. He realized this is what's going to be. Esav, I want Esav to be the Yerush. So don't you think by the Ribbono Shel Olam these things, if this is what the Tzaddik wanted with its own Yerush of Yasser, that it has to happen in some shape and form? And exactly, it did happen. It happened throughout the generations. I'm assuming now the first 500 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, I have to go check the records, the history book, the secular books, it was occupied by, you have to say, by the, no, the Romans didn't care for it. The Romans, they left, they run, right away, the Romans did not last very long. The Romans, about 52 years. That was 52 years. You're right. They had control. The Churban was 52 years. Some say it was 92 years. But that was it. That they loosened up. They said you can bury the Harugei Beitar. You can bury them. They loosened up. So who was in control of Eretz Yisrael for the next 400 years? For the next 400 years? I'm not sure. Who? No, the Greeks were before. Alexander the Great was during the time of the Bayis Sheni. It was before. He was long gone. Alexander the Great was long forgotten by that time. He was before that. I'm assuming it has to be probably descendants of Eliezer, his people. Then came a Tekufa when the Muslims, Muhammad, he became, he had these crazy, Ram talks about them, called them the Meshuggah. Okay, the Meshuggah. He calls them the Muhammad of Meshuggah. He had these crazy visions about whatever he wanted to think. And somehow the Muslims, somehow, they ended up taking possession of Eretz Yisrael for 500 years. That was a fulfillment of Lu Yishmol Yichya Lefonecha. Then what happened? The Crusades. Pope Urban II, Clermont, 1195, gave his drasha, and 6,000 people marched 3,000 miles to Yerushalayim to conquer Yerushalayim, and they succeeded. And how long did they succeed? How long did they only take possession? For 85 years. And then probably the third crusade was, whatever, maybe it was the third crusade, maybe later, fourth, fifth, they went and the Ishmaelim took it back. And they never let go until the 20th century. 20th century when the British got involved, again with the Turks, and the British got involved, and finally we took it back. Now it's under, mostly under our control. Not totally, under our control. And what about Esav? Where is Esav in? Well, Esav never lived it down. Esav was hurt. You see this many times in life. People, they know they're political. Politically correct. Yeah, I lost the battle. You know, they smile. But deep, deep down inside in their subconscious, they hurt. And when their time comes, they raise their ugly head and they're toivea. I want it back. And according to, and they have power to, Yitzhak said about Esav, I want it to happen. So the Abarbanel says that's the Milchemetz Goygu Magog. It's going to be the last stand of the Rotzoin of Avram and the Rotzoin of Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak did give legitimacy that these two nations should possess Eretz Yisrael. And they've been fighting over it. And then the Yavos HaMashiach is going to be when that expires. When that Rotzoin of Avram and Yitzchak that they should possess them will expire. And then the ultimately will be when Avram and Yitzhak came to the realization also in their life, no, not Gam Boruch Tiyeh. Yimos HaMashiach is the time when Yitzhak comes to the realization, I gave the brachas to Yaakov, Gam Boruch Tiyeh. That's the way it's supposed to be. Avram, after he drove out Yishmael, vayigoresh es Yishmael, he drove him out. The tekufa of Yimos HaMashiach of Goig is when, when history repeats itself, those two moments occur in the big picture of things when it's now only Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we're dealing over, and that's what it says, and in the process over here it says that during these years, we back to Pasuk Beis, V'raditim es elei megi ha'shafat, v'shpat yishlimam sham al ami v'nachalas Yisrael, asher pizhu v'agoyim. Yishmael and Esav have been demanding throughout the ages that they're the Yorshim. Because Yitzchak and Avram indeed gave it to them, at least at some point in time. And what did they do? They took it away from us. B'esartzi chileku amongst themselves. And they removed us from the land. Yemos HaMashiach is when this tekufa comes to an end. Okay, that's pretty much how the Abarbanel learned Shat in the Pasuk. The Malbim does not go so far to such an extreme, obviously because the Malbim has the advantage of hindsight. The Malbim was relatively recent. He didn't live all that long ago, the Malbim. Whereas Abarbanel lived on 15th century, so he didn't see the whole world unfold the way we see it today.
Especially
so that
when
the Muslims were dominant. They had control. So therefore he thought that the Christians would also fight back. But that never really happened. That never really happened in history when the Christians took possession. And today we don't see it. We don't see today desire on their part to take possession. We do see desire to influence the events, to have the honor of, with the Balabatim, we're causing things to happen for their ulterior motives. But not that they should take possession. Maybe, who knows? Who knows what's going to be? Maybe the Abarbanel is right. We do not know what the future has in store. Who knows how Mashiach will play out, how the coming of Mashiach will play out. Now let's try to read this, how the Abarbanel reads this very quickly, how he, the Hakdama, how he tries to read all this in Pesukim. The Abarbanel says in Pasuk Beis, V'kibatzti, it's like, V'kibatzti es al goyim, Pasuk Beis, let's read the Pasuk, the Abarbanel will stop. שאז יסאבי השם שיסקאמסו כל הגויים במלחמת רגל מגוג שני בעלך יחזקאל. ויסבוי השם שאז יסאירו בני אדוים ללוחם על בני ישמואל. There's going to be a war. ואחר כך ילחמו בני ישמואל. Over here he basically says there's going to be multiple wars. It's going to be a volley. Back and forth, back and forth. It almost sounds like the first crusade, the second crusade, the third crusade. We know there were 10 crusades. There were 10 crusades over a span of 300 years. The last 7 were a joke. The first 3 is where all the action, all the motion films are only about the first 3. Okay, there are no motion films in Hollywood about the last 7 because Shvachemaisis. The first 3 is what the first 3 were. The second one was really very Lionheart. What's
Richard,
his name?
Richard.
Richard the
Lionhearted.
That's what they call him. So that's it. Oh, that's like, you know, I don't know much about it, but that's supposed to be like, that's the romance of the Crusades. It's not the first Crusade. The first Crusade is pretty boring from the perspective of the Goyim. The second Crusade, oh, that's the real fun. So the Achach Yilachmu b'nei Yishmolu b'nei Adam v'zeh yeh al yidei Hashem. That's what it's called, the valley. V'hamoin goyik. Shesham yiblu banayflim mavor madua kari yosav b'shem emek yoyishafat. Okay, ki al ki nishpati imam sham shesham avo imam b'mishpat al ami v'nachalos Yisrael al harois she'asu lohem shehagam shehashem gozalem. Now here he's asking the age old question. The age old question is: if we were deserving of punishment for our sins, and Hashem recruited the Yishmaelim to punish us, and Hashem recruited Edom to punish us, so why do they have to? Why do they deserve punishment for what they've done to us? Exactly. Why should the Egyptians be punished for what they've done to us? Hashem recruited them to. They're doing Hashem's mission. So here the Malm gives a similar answer to the Ramban, same type of answer. Now Shagam, this is the last line of the Malm here. Shagam Shashem goes aleim goes heim ozu luraah. You're right, if they would have just done what they're told to, then they would not be punished. But they exceeded their bounds, their limits. Two things. Overdid it. Aleph, Asher Pizhu Bagoyim. It was not necessary to expel us. The expulsions That's the key word. You know what they're going to be punished for? Yimos HaMashiach, not for Inquisition. No, I shouldn't really say that. Chas Shalom. But they're going to be punished for the expulsions. The fact that the Jews were expelled from every single country in this world, that's the punishment. Not for making life difficult for us. Not for shutting down the Bate Kinesios, Bate Midrashos and the Shmat. Hashem said, told them to do that. Hashem told them, that's right, the Jews have to suffer a little bit and you're going to be the Shluchim. But why do you have to expel us? When you finish your job, after you finish torturing us, you have to throw us out of the country? Who told you to do that? That's the din. Isn't it amazing? That's what he says over here at the end of the Malbim for the expulsions. What? Every country. Every country. I want to write you go every country in the entire Europe we were thrown out of. Elo asher pizhu vagoyim sha'al yidei the next page rubei hagerushin expulsions. He also wears shmad. Okay, so maybe sometimes they went a little bit too far. They went a shtickel too far in how they enjoy torturing us. What's the second thing? They stole our money. They stole our money. That's what they're going to be punished for. You want to torture us? Fine. But what right do you have to take away our money, to steal our property? Give it back. Give us back our assets. What right do you have that? Also, and what else did they do? They took Eretz Yisrael. What business do you have, Esav and Yishmael, taking possession of Eretz Yisrael? You're not the Yoyresh. You're not the Yoyresh. Just because Avram had a Havamina and Yitzchak had a Havamina. So a Havamina, you take possession of the land. You have no right to do that. That's what gave them the power to succeed, that there was a Havamina. But doesn't mean they have the right to do so. That's what they said, exactly. Because they thought the Jews are their slaves. That's why they're going to be punished. These are the reasons, because of the expulsions. They stole our money and they took possession of Eretz Yisrael. What a chutzpah. It's not your property. You'll ask me, but I just told you a few minutes ago that Yitzhak had a Havamina and Avram. Yeah, that Havamina is what indeed gave them the power to succeed legally. But it was still illegal. It was still Shaloi Kedim because it was only a Havamina. It was not the Maskana. All right, we'll stop here.
The art side, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Reimann.